Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Again, today I am so grateful that the Lord woke me up this morning, clothed me in my right mind, and started me on a brand new day, thanking God for the do-over. You know, as we get ready to get into our word this morning, I just have a prayer to share with you before we get started. And the prayer is this: Dear Lord God, today I lift up those who are lacking a home to live in. I pray for those who find themselves displaced and alone. Help me to live a life that is worthy of what you have called me to love and serve in your name. Please reveal to me the needs that you have equipped me to meet. Help me to love people as you love them. You clothed yourself in humanity. You knelt on the floor and washed away the grime and filth with tenderness and grace. You proclaimed freedom for the captives, sight for the blind, and adoption for the orphans. You seek out the marginalized and welcome the stranger. You pursue those who are thought to be too far gone. Let me die to myself so that your Holy Spirit may live in me. Please help me to love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with you, my God. Micah 6:8. You are more wonderful than my words can describe. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus, to save me and to show me how to love. In Jesus' loving name, I pray. Amen. And that was a prayer I received this morning from Primetime with God. And when I read it, it just filled me up. Because it fit perfectly how I feel and what I want to do and what I was asking God for as I prayed personally this morning. And we need God to increase as we decrease. We need God to give us guidance and show us how we should live and how we should treat each other. You know, my word says, good morning, Bridget. Let God minister to you as you pray and read today's devotional. And Prime Time has no idea that I do this blog and read a devotional every morning, giving us his guidance through his word. And today's word, it's like a today word. And it's coming out of the book of Matthew, where Jesus was basically accused of healing in the name of basically the devil. And Jesus politely told them, we know it was the Pharisees who didn't do anything but follow after Jesus to try to catch him in something that they could get a gotcha for. But the word that he gave was, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And when I read that word, it did something to my heart. Because America as a nation are divided. And the word of God has given us an edit that as long as we stand divided, we will not stand as a nation. Cities divided cannot stand. Kingdoms divided cannot stand. We will become desolate if we don't stop. Take a minute breather. Take a breath and trust God. that his will, not ours. Yes, I know somebody's saying, well, he gives us free will. Yes, he does. But he gives us free will to stop and think and pray. So I say today, as we get closer to Wednesday, pray. Pray and pray some more. As my sister Carolyn likes to say, and as we've seen on many of Christian items, we need to do some pushing. We need to pray until something happens. And that something should be us coming back together as a nation, trusting that God was in charge. Praying for the new president. Praying that he will do what's right in the sight of God and in the sight of mankind. Because I'm going to tell you, as a person that is a dog lover, I really am excited to see two German shepherds in the White House, to see two dogs, because I had a German shepherd that was the love of my life. I love my Quincy. And we'll always thank God for sending him into our lives, because he was protection for my children. And he was the most loving and sweetest dog I've ever had. And I love him to pieces. And I pray God rest his soul. But I say that we have God. Family, pray and pray some more. Push. We need to push. We need to get on our knees. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to ask God to heal our land. And we need to start talking to those family members who believe conspiracy theories and all the foolishness. And I'm just saying it and then I'm done. Joe Biden won the election. God made it so. Just like 4 years ago when there were some of us that didn't think Donald Trump deserved to be president, but we didn't storm the Capitol. We didn't try to take hostages. We didn't try all that craziness. We accepted it. We moved on. We asked God to watch over him and that he would lead this country in unity. That's what we prayed. At least that's what I pray. I will not, and you shall not, hate somebody. Because God chose them this time. Just as you pray for a flawed Donald Trump, pray for maybe a flawed Joseph Biden. But the bottom line is pray. Instead of trying to take what was not yours, is not yours to take. Because maybe that's his blessing. That may be his time and his blessing. You have your blessing. We got to stop being envious and jealous and hateful. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be believers in Christ, and we need to act like it. God does not honor mess. I sat and listened and watched these people pray to God as they were doing devilment. God didn't hear that. It didn't go any further than the stealing of the Capitol Dome, because it was wrong and it was not of God. God is not divisive, but he will do what he does to make us look at ourselves. We have to pray. We have to pray. And we're going to go back, before we get started this morning, to Matthew chapter 6. People's minds and spirits. As we get ready for Inauguration Day, for a new president to start, that we don't forget who we are in the course of all of this stuff going on. Let us not forget that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And what we do is we pray. But before I go to chapter 6, we're going to go back to chapter 5. And we're going to just go over the blessed, because we want to be a blessed nation. And the word says, now the Lord said to Abram. No, I'm sorry, y'all. Went into the wrong chapter here. Trying to go to chapter 5. Verse 1 of Matthew. Here we are. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain. And we're talking Jesus. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. God is wanting us to love each other. He wants us to be blessed. Get ready to open our word for today. Let's pray together. As Jesus taught us to pray, therefore do not be like. Let's go back and see, be like who? But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father sees in secret and will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And please pray with me this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure the face that they may appear to men to be fasting. But I say to you today, sons and daughters of God, we need to forgive. We need to let go and let God, and we need to move forward, united in love for each other, in love for our country, and love for our planet, and everyone in it. So I say to you today, don't allow conspiracies and lies and deception to get into your spirit. Pray to the God of the harvest, for there are many, 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 many souls that need saving. But there are few laborers to speak the truth. We must speak the truth, because a lie is a lie, and it will always be shown for what it is, a lie. Our word is truth, and we have to speak truth to power, that God is God. Jesus is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit is our light that shines in darkness. Let your light shine. Don't believe lies. Don't get caught up in the okey-doke. Powerful people to stay in power. That's all it's about. Don't get caught up in that foolishness. You are better than that. You are children of God, and you are loved. So let's get into our word this morning. And I thank God for putting into my voice what he wanted me to say. I decrease, Lord, as you increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight. For again, Lord, I say every day, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. And I cannot do this without you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just had to add that this morning because I don't want any flesh in this. I ask God to come in, increase as I decrease, remove flesh. And the word of God in our daily word for today on January the 18th, 2021, is Genesis 35 verses 1 through Genesis 36 verse 43. And we know that Jacob has gone home. He has gone home. He has met with his brother Esau. And now we're getting ready to get into some genealogy. And I'm saying up front, please forgive me if I pronounce the name incorrectly. Put it to not being able to speak it, but not to my heart. Because my heart is saying the right word, but my mind may not always get it out the correct way. So I will pray to God that he gives me every name correctly. And if I mispronounce it, please forgive me. I'm saying it up front so that somebody's not texting and trolling me with, well, if you're going to read the Bible, you know, at least say the names correctly. So I'm just saying up front for the trolls. Forgive me if I mispronounce a name in the genealogy because I'm going to do my best to pronounce it correctly in Jesus' name. So let's get ready, get started, and let's go for it. And it says, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourself and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was in Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities. There were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel under the terebinth tree. So the name of it was called Alon Bechet. And God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I give to you and to your descendants after you. I give this land. Then God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. So Jacob set up a pillar of oil on it. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him, Bethel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go, Ephrath, Rachel, labored in childbirth. And she had a hard labor. It came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, do not fear. You will have this son also. And so it was as her soul was departing, for she died. Then she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrathah. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave, which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Then Israel journeyed and pitched his tent beyond the river of Edar. And it happened, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine in Israel, heard about it. Now understand, that is some of his brother's mother. That is just, I'm going to call it like it is. That's just nasty. And it's against God. He goes sleep with his daddy's concubine and his brother's mother. That is nasty. That's nasty. I'm just calling it like it is. And, you know, if we go back in our word a little bit here, let's go back to Jacob's story. When he left his father and left his mother and went to stay with his uncle, and his uncle tricked him into marrying the older sister, Leah, and Leah had children, as Rachel could not have any children. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 30, and this is verse number 3. So she said, "Here is my maid, Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob's son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestling I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she named him Naphtali. So now, Dan and Naphtali are Bilhah's son. And now, they brother, their oldest brother, has decided to sleep with their mother. How do you think that makes those boys feel? That is just nasty. So I'm saying it again. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpha, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Now, that's gross. I'm saying it again. It just bothered my spirit. And it says, it goes on to tell you that Jacob came to his father Isaac at Merom and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now, the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died. It was people being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And that's a blessing that these young men came back together before their father's death. That's a blessing. And now let's continue. Now this is the genealogy of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wife from the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, Aholabamith, the daughter of Ani, the daughter of Zebion the Havite, and Basmath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth, and Ada bore Eliphaz to Esau, and Basmath bore Reuel, and Aholabama bore Jeshish, Jalam, and Korah. Those were the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the persons of his household, his cattle, and all his animals, and all his goods, which he had gained in the land of Canaan, and went to a country away from the presence of his brother Jacob. For their possessions were too great for them to dwell together, and the land where they were strangers could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Y'all got that? Esau is Edom. And this is the genealogy of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. They were the names of Esau's son, Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau, and Raul, the son of Basmat, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatham, and Kenaz. Now, Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bore Amalek and Eliphaz to Eliphaz. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. These are the sons of Raul, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, Mizah. These were the sons of Basmat, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Aholabamah, Esau's wife, and the daughter of Anai, the daughter of Zebon, and she bore Esau, Jeshus, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs of the sons of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, were Chief Teman, Chief Omar, Chief Zepho, Chief Kenaz, Chief Korah, Chief Gatam, and Chief Amalek. These were the chiefs of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. They were the sons. These were the sons of Raul, Esau's son, Chief Nahath, Chief Zerah, Chief Shammah, Chief Mizar. These were the chiefs of Raul in the lands of Edom. These were the sons of Basmat, Esau's wife. And these were the sons of Aholabamah, Esau's wife, Chief Jeshus, Chief Jalam, Chief Korah. These were the chiefs who descended from Aholabamah, Esau's wife, the daughter of Anai. These were the sons of Esau who Edom, and these were their chiefs. These were the sons of Seir, the Horite, who inhabited the land, Lotan, Sobal, Zibeon, Anai, Deshan, Ezar, Dishon. These were the chiefs of the Horites, the sons of Seir, in the land of Edom. And the sons of Lotan were Hori and Heman. Lotan's sister was Timnah. These were the sons of Sobal, Elvin, Meninahath, Ebo, Shophel, and Enam. These were the sons of Zebion, both Azar and Anai. These were the Anai who found the water in the wilderness as he pastured the donkeys of his father, Zebion. These were the children of Anai, Dishon, and Aholabamah, the daughter of Anai. These were the sons of Dishon, Hemdan, Eshban, Etheran, Sharon. These were the sons of Ezer, Bilhan, Zevan. These were the sons of Dishon, Uz, and Aran. These were the chiefs of the Horites, Chief Lothan, Chief Shobal, Chief Zebion, Chief Anan, Chief Dishon, Chief Ezer, Chief Dishon. These were the chiefs of the Horites according to their chiefs in the land of Seir. Now these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela the son of Beor reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhabah. And then Bela died. Jobab the son of Zerah, Bozrah, reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Hashem of the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. And when Hashem died, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who attacked Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. And the name of his city was Avis. When Hadad died, Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. And when Samla died, Saul of Rehoboth, by the river, reigned in his place. When Saul died, Baal-Hanan of the son of Akbar reigned in his place. And when Baal-Hanan, the son of Akbar, died, Hadar reigned in his place. And then the name of his city was Pul. His wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, and the daughter of Mezahab. And these were the names of the chiefs of Esau, according to their families and their places by their name: Chief Timnah, Chief Alba, Chief Jethanith, Chief Ahalabama, Chief Elah, Chief Menon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Teman, Chief Midzar, Chief Migdal, Chief Aram. These were the chiefs of Edom according to their dwelling places in the land of their possessions. Esau was the father of the Edomites. Psalms 9, verses 6 through 10. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed, even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever, and he has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For the Lord have not forsaken those who seek him. I'm going to read verse 10 one more time. Psalms verse chapter 9, verse 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 through 30. Even though we have read all of this chapter before, putting this back in our daily word. And it says, do not withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it. When you have it with you, do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. In other words, don't get into it with people that have not, don't have anything to do with you. You just causing trouble to cause trouble. And that's what we have to avoid at all costs, causing trouble to cause trouble. But the word of God for our life lessons, and for those that are just joining, again, this moving forward experience, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I am coming in the New King James Version. I love King James, but New King James is just a lot easier to read for me and for me to understand what I'm reading. I grew up on King James like many of us, but I just happen to like New King James. It takes out the thems, the thous, but it keeps the context in place. So just some life lessons, and these are from Dr. Stanley. Genesis 35 and 2, put away the foreign gods that are among you. God calls for our, say that again, exclusive allegiance, not allegiance to God in something or someone else. Y'all caught that? But allegiance to God alone. He will accept no other kind of loyalty. We can't have divided loyalty between God and man. Because it says in the word, you will love one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Be careful. And then our word for Psalms chapter 9, verse 7. The Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. God never had a beginning, and he will never have an end. That makes him the perfect judge. For he knows all the causes leading up to an event and all the consequences leading from it. He judges perfectly. God knows the root cause of every situation we may have. And you got to pull some things out of the root to find out why you do what you do or why you don't do what you're supposed to do. There's a root cause for everything. Psalms 9 and 10, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. God never forsakes any man or woman who places his or her trust in him. He may allow them to wade through some very deep and cold waters, but he will never abandon them. When everyone else flees, he remains. And I say thank you and praise God this morning. And our word for today is coming out of Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 to verses 50. And the word of God says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude was amazed and said, could this be the son of David? And then, of course, in the midst, there is the devils that try to create confusion. They try to make what was right or wrong by having something to say when they needed to have kept their tongues behind their teeth. And here they are. And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And this is where Jesus comes in. And this is where the title of our lesson comes from. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Bam. Therefore, they shall be your judge. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? That's something to kind of think about too. And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Blood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Can the church say amen? And my pastor preached this message. It's just kind of ironic that we were both speaking on the same lesson. But my pastor speaks, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus was telling them even then who he was. And he also told them y'all gonna kill me. I would spend 3 days in the earth, and then I'm up. I'm rising again. But the problem was that many did not repent, even after the resurrection. They chose to lie and not believe. Understand, things that we think are new are old. There are always people in power that will not want you to know the truth because it's the truth that sets us free. They were generations of lies. Come on now. Let's tell the truth. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him 7 other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And I just want to put a little pin right there. It did not say half had his brothers. But we know that Mary had other children. We know that Joseph was their father and Jesus was their brother. So don't let you get caught up in that lie either. But let's go back to this word, this Matthew word, because it's important. And it says, Jesus knew their thoughts. The book of Hebrews says, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. And that's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And Paul says, the Lord will reveal the counsel of the heart, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. God knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. Can't hide from Jesus. You can't hide from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit knows everything you do. You can't hide from God. He knows your name and he knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your spirit. And we got to have a righteous spirit. Because we are sons and daughters of God. If you believe, you have been brought into the family. Whether Gentile or Jew, we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's mine and I love him. Cannot get through the song more than anything without feeling up. That song touches my spirit. It touches my heart and it just takes me into that place. It takes me to that place where I just get into the presence of God. It's like cleansing to my soul when I say, I love you, Jesus, more than anything. More than anything, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. It touches my heart to even say the words. It touches my spirit all the way down to my pinky toe. Thank you, Pastor Fred, for that. You know, we just got to love God because he loves us. He loves us more than anything. Why do we not want to love him back more than anything? God is God. Jesus is the Lord, our Lord and Savior. He was there with Jacob, as we read. You know, he's been there with us all along. When we get to it, he was in the fiery furnace. He was in the lion's den. He's always been there. and he always will be. He was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, as spoken by John. We know who we belong to, and we got to act like it. Matthew 12 and 31, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Blasphemy against the Spirit is unforgivable because it prevents repentance. Some worry that they have committed the unforgivable sin, but God will never reject anyone who is truly repentant. Give me, Lord, and mean it. We have to repent. If you said anything, if you did anything, even if you thought anything, and sometimes we don't even know the thoughts that we have, but we ask God to forgive us for things known and unknown. Sins known and unknown. Forgive us, Lord God. For we want to be right and righteous in the sight of God. For he is our absolute and our everything. And this is a word from Matthew 12, 29 to 20, 22 to 29. Because Jesus triumphed over Satan at the cross, the believer can claim victory. And this is from Dr. Stanley, Life's Question. Start again. Because Jesus triumphed over Satan at the cross, the believer can claim victory over Satan in daily battles. A Christian is indwelt with the triumph and power of the Holy Spirit, and has the privilege of exercising a divine authority more powerful than the authority of Satan. 1 John 4 and 4, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can restore and release someone who has been bound by exercising the higher authority of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 12 and 29, Jesus asked, how can one enter a strong man's house unless he first binds the strong man? We know that we must bind Satan in order to have victory over him. So how can we bind Satan? There are three things we must have and use. This is one of those things that if you want to write them down, you need to write it down. I highlight it. The name of Jesus. The Bible tells us to pray in the name in Jesus' name, John 16 and 23. Throughout the New Testament, the apostles heal and do the works of the Lord in Jesus' name. Acts 3 and 6, you and I transact spiritual business, so to speak, by using the currency of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we ask in Jesus' name, we are saying to the Father, Jesus would have asked this if he were physically here now. Can you imagine what could happen to the church if believers took God at his word and appreciated the power of the Holy Spirit? Appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus is number two. We dare not come boldly into battle with Satan without the protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Throughout the script, the shed blood is a symbol of protection and of our redemption. The blood of Christ's sacrifice paid the price of sin and eternally broke the power of Satan over us. The Word of God. And you'll hear me say I stand on the Word, because the Lord's Word cannot be added to or taken away from. The Word is the Word, and we must know it. Meditate on it day and night. And it says the Word of God. Jesus countered the temptation of Satan by quoting scripture. It is written. He confronted Satan in spirit-to-spirit combat using the Word of God. We must rely on the guidance of God's Word. The power to defeat Satan is available to every believer. Every one of us has the ability to deal with Satan by the almighty supernatural power of God. We have the right, Satan bound, his work restricted, and the prisoner set free. My friend, exercise courage to allow God to use you to the maximum every day. And I thank Dr. Stanley for his word in binding Satan. life's questions. So the first thing is the name of Jesus. The second is the blood of Jesus. And the third is the word of God. That's how we bind the devil. That's how we do it. It's the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. Let God's word permeate your heart, your mind, and your spirit this morning. And again, I thank you for joining me. As we move forward through the word, we have one more life lesson, and it is from Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, my brother and sister and mother. And that is from Jesus. Jesus came to earth to do the will of his Father. And so anyone who has the same goal is one in spirit with him. A genuine desire to please God creates a stronger bond than anything else in the universe. So keep God first, family. Study your word. Show yourself approved. And remember, as we read in our word, in this chapter 10 word, what is it? And it was our title. Not too long ago, I think a couple of days ago maybe, to be what? As wise as a serpent, right? We got to be wise, family. We got to speak the truth. We got to know the truth. And we got to let it set us free, from the bounds of the enemy. For he is a sneaky, low-down, dirty snake. And all his goal is to create confusion in the body, create confusion in the church, create confusion in this world. He is the author of confusion. And we must be quick to recognize him for who he is, what he is, and how he likes to create mess in our lives. He likes to keep you all bound up in confusion. He likes to keep you upset with your brother and your sister. He likes to keep you going from here to there and everywhere, because if he can keep the confusion going, then he knocks us off our square, and that's what he's trying to do. So we got to be this. The word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 10:16, says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, family, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." You understand? It says, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues." So there are those out there that are having moments, but we got to understand we have to be careful as God's sheep. That our shepherd has told us that we are in the midst of some wolves nowadays. But we have to be wise as serpents. But we also have to be harmless as doves. Keep that map. The wolves of this world, be careful, but be wise as serpents. But harmless as doves. But don't be sneaky snakes. That's all I'm saying. Thank you so much. Be blessed. And if there's anyone that would like to speak this morning, now's the time to dial 213-943-3597. Push the number 1 on your phone if you got a word. But remember the word that God gave us this morning. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. We don't want our nation to be brought to desolation. So pray for unity. Pray for us to come back together as a nation, to be a nation who trust in God, that we must in God we trust, not money, not man. Morning, Sister Carolyn. As always, every day for those that are just joining us, we have my sister in Christ. She does a word that just makes you feel good every day. It may be a scripture. It may be something that God woke her up early in the morning to write. But the word for today is this. Good morning. The Lord knows everything about us and still loves us. There is nothing that can remove us from God's presence or his love. Have a motivated Monday. And as always, she's right there with us in the word of God. And I always say that she does not know what scripture I'm going to be coming from, because I don't know myself, except for I know it's a daily word, and I just trust God that he will give me the title and he will give me the word to come from. And today it was Matthew chapter 10 where we finished it up. Praise God. 10 in your heart. That should be one of your biblical arsenals. Go to chapter 10, read it, meditate on it, and let that word permeate your spirit, because God is giving us everything we need to pray, to preach, and to teach. So as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, for he is our God and we are his children. And remember, he knows the number of every hair on your head. That's something we don't even know, but God does. He knows everything, as Sister Carolyn said. So keep him first in your life, in your prayers. Lift up the name of Jesus. Know that you are covered by the blood, and know that he will always be with you. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. For he is our God, and he loves us. So keep your focus on God today. Remember, when you pray, to bind those spirits, bind them in the name of Jesus. Know that you are covered by his blood, and trust in God. Keep your focus, on God. So today, keep your focus on God. Keep trusting him. Know him, because he knows you and everything about you. Have a blessed day, family. Join me tomorrow on the 19th day of January. And just real quick before we get out of here, church announcement. This show will be probably a half an hour late. We will start probably at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, because I will be doing some extra work on Wednesday. And I will be probably working about 20 hours in a day. So pray for me that God gives me strength, because I'm doing what I do for the Lord, for his grace and for his goodness and for his mercy. But we will not, the blog will still go forth on the 21st. We will just be a half an hour late. So we will be coming together at 7:30 on Thursday. So church announcement, and I'll announce it again up until Wednesday. We will be announcing that we will not be blogging until 7:30 on Thursday, unless God tells me 8 o'clock, which may be, because that's a new beginning. So thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap.